The JSE has closed its doors on this first day of the new trading week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Nick Kunzer from Sandon Private Wealth. And it's Martin Luther King Day in the United States, Nick, so that means that there's no proper US trading. There's still some futures going on, of course, but the real thing is closed. And that means that the people in London use this as an excuse to go to lunch at 11 and not come back until tomorrow morning in whatever state they return. But anyway, you get the picture. We haven't got the influence of the overseas chaps.
Lindsay, good evening. Yeah, I couldn't put it better myself. That's exactly right. And but you do get a feeling this might be a bit of calm before the storm. So even though the US markets are shut and volume's been anemic, I imagine, in most bourses around the world, you know, it kicks off tomorrow. We've got pictures on our screen behind me on the TV with lovely pictures of Davos and people interviewing in the snow ahead of Davos kicking off tomorrow.
Yeah.
Americans are back tomorrow, and then from that we have earnings season continuing. We've got Trump impeachment kicking off tomorrow. So quite a bit hitting the diary, so maybe a little bit of rest today and a quietish day. But as you said, futures markets are still open, so there's a little bit of action, but we're indicating a bit of a softer US. S&P futures are slightly down, but really not much to read into it, quite frankly.
And if you think that the impeachment trial of Donald J. Trump and Davos is going to move the needle on the stock markets, then you're maybe just saying that for podcasting purposes. But
I'm trying to fill up the airtime before I leave. Exactly. No, there is okay, let's get rid of those things because they ain't going to move the needle. But U.S. earnings season, second week in full throw. We have some decent ones out this week: American Express, Intel. I think what else? We've got, I think, Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson, Netflix is reporting. That'd be quite a good one to watch for the guys that follow the streaming space.
Mm-hmm.
And then Anglo American, you know, our sort of homegrown miner, they're reporting at the end of the week too. So, yeah, so let's ignore the Trump impeachment, that rubbish, and let's concentrate on the real stuff, which is the earnings continuing tomorrow.
Exactly. Talking about Netflix and all the other streaming services that are coming online, particularly Disney. Disney is very niched, and it's just Disney, whereas Netflix has got a whole different sort of portfolio, more wide-ranging. So I wonder if people actually will say, yeah, I'm sticking with Netflix, but Disney's cheap, so I'm going to take that as well for when the grandchildren come around, or maybe I like to watch Lady and the Tramp occasionally.
I'm not sure. Disney is certainly shaking up that streaming space. So Netflix owned it for the last couple of years, and I think if you see the I think it was a bit of a sort of talk about moving the needle. I think that was a bit of a groundbreak. If you see the Oscar nominations that came out last week,
yeah.
21 of those nominations were related in some form to Netflix. So it is a bit of a groundbreaker. But Disney catching up fast. And most people who might know the story, Disney were almost sold a bit of their catalog or leased their catalog to Netflix.
Yes.
So you could log onto Netflix and catch a Marvel or a some Disney show that was leased from Disney. And I think Disney looked at this and went, well, you know what? We can actually, you know, we own the majority of decent flicks over the last 50 years. We can actually do the same. So they've come in now with something called Disney Plus. And their level, I believe, almost $3, $4 a month cheaper coming in. A bit of a shot across the bow, so to speak, to Netflix. And I do think it's making a difference. From a costing point of view, I think Disney shares around about sort of $95, $100. I think they're close to $140 of the last year. So huge outperformer. Sleepy old Disney think it doesn't do much. It's actually been a huge outperformer with share price. I think scaring Netflix, so to speak. So yeah, that is quite a one to watch. Certainly they've been one of the heavyweights sort of driving the market higher too. So Netflix out, I think, Wednesday or Thursday for those who are interested.
We were talking this morning about the US dollar, the Dixie, the dollar index, and we were saying that the Rand has behaved itself in the face of a slowly grinding higher US dollar against a basket of currencies. Well, the Rand has popped a little bit because it's 14.51 against the US dollar. It's 18.84 against the British pound and 16.08 against the euro, with the euro dollar just, as I say, grinding higher. It's 110.80 now. These are tiny increments, but in a big market, they do mean something, especially if you're a big importer or exporter. International indices, Dow Jones, obviously nothing, but the futures down just a fraction. Really, just nothing. Two handfuls of points. The rest of the markets, FTSE in London, down 0.25%. Also in quiet conditions. DAX up a bit. CAC 40 down 0.33% in Paris. And let's go to commodities now, which I always look forward to because you're going to give me the latest. One day you're going to say, Lindsay, palladium's down $150.
It's red on my screen. Exactly.
Exactly. The gold price is $2.50 better at $15.60 an ounce. Brent crude oil is $65.86, up 24 cents. Palladium has fallen, having been up 10 this morning, now down 11. And palladium must have gone red as well.
Don't stop just yet. No, it's just a sniff, $3 in the green, $2,484. So just shy of it. I must point out, though, we're speaking just while on the topic of palladium. Those who understand futures market, and you understand them.
Yes.
The front month contract for palladium, the futures price for March, is $200 under the spot price of palladium. Which in those who understand it is called backwardation. But a $200, 10% difference is enormous.
Yeah.
So if you, those who understand the maths behind it, your cost to carry your money and all the rest of it and interest rates, futures prices, your future delivery prices, traditionally 99% of the time always trade over spot because the cost of carry of holding that position, etc. This year is very, very unusual, and it is indicative of a huge short supply. So people are saying they want to rather, it's better to own the palladium price right now, the actual metal in the ground. I want to buy it. I want to take delivery of it rather than try to forecast where it's going to be in March. And in March, you can actually call, it's going to cost $200 less to hold it out, which applies against everything you know about economics. So, I mean, there's a very, just a quick observation, those who have been following this in the conversation we've been having the last couple of weeks. It really is quite interesting stuff here.
It could be speculation. I mean, there's an element of speculation there because of the shortage of supply. And the car manufacturers have to buy the spot or the futures ones. They've got to get it. And so, therefore, that pushes the nearby prices to a premium to the future prices, which is what you've just been alluding to.
Yeah. I would almost put this in along the same basket of sort of negative bonds. You know, this shouldn't behave like this. You shouldn't have the spot, the futures price so significantly under. But yes, classic supply and demand stuff.
Yeah, and that's called backwardation, where the nearby months are at a premium to the future months. And the other situation you described, which is the normal situation in normal market conditions, where the futures price, the spot price is below the futures price because of interest rate charges, which are negligible, but also carrying costs, etc. That's called contagion. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the lesson.
Futures 101 for those listening. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. What else have we got today? Let's have a look at some of the big movers on the JSE Securities Exchange with my 15-minute delayed screen, but I'm going to refresh that 15-minute delayed screen now and have a look at what I've got, Nick, and you can tell me if that's still prevailing. I've got Sibanye, Goldfields, Bidcorp, Harmony and Implats in the top five. Bidcorp is the only new entrant that is a non-mining company from this morning.
Yeah, I'd concur with that. My screen's the same, so you're up to date.
Okay, but nothing on Bidcorp. It's up 3.2%.
No, nothing on Bidcorp. And if I look at the actual last traded price, it's an unusual number, which implies that some big sort of blocks went through, so a bit of interest coming through. You know, funny enough, Lindsay, I had conversations today a few times with people sort of trying to figure out what to do with their shares and what to do with the Rand. I mean, Rand's always a talking point for South Africans around sort of Braai, but most now with obviously Moody's meeting in February. And I guess that conversation has been dominating last week. You know, how much is in the price? How much is in the price? And there seems to be a little bit of, I guess, positive feeling that maybe some of these SA Inc. guys, it's already in the price. It's been sold off too much. But, you know, we can only hope and see. But I don't know. Maybe that's a bit of Bidcorp, but guys trying to position themselves. Maybe this Rand is overdone. But who knows? We'll know in February, you know, for what it's worth.
Yes, we will do. On the downside today, got RCL Foods down 7.25%. That looks like a thin market condition with a few thousand shares here and there changing hands. Telkom down 5.4%. Hasn't recovered from this morning. Coronation Managers, fund managers, down 3.1%. Richemont, after a really good end to last week, down 3.1%. And Hammerson down 2.75%. Richemont, a flash in the pan or something we should be looking at?
No, we're very – that divided the whole our meeting we had last week when that came out, and it was on Friday morning. You know, the market obviously saw a different side to it, and they loved the story and thought the Hong Kong, I think, believe the Hong Kong earnings are going to be far worse than were reported, and the market took a like to it, and they bounced it up sort of 5-6 rand. But if you looked at their online business, where last year, sort of half a year ago, they had sort of 19% growth year on year. This time around, the online only coming out with 2% year on year. So the one half of the sort of research guys were saying that it was disappointing. The other half said it was not. So, yeah, I mean, the Bulls won on Friday, and I get the Bears are winning today. So quite a divided stock at the moment. So I think Flash is bad. Oh, CL, I must say, just saw something cross the wires sort of after 4 o'clock about there was a deal with certain assets regarding to one of the logistical businesses. I don't know, something to do with consumer goods or something like that with Imperial. I don't know, but it looks like a little bit of acquisitions, M&A coming through in the market. Not liking that story in the last, selling off the last half an hour. I'm sure we'll find out more tomorrow.
I'm sure we will. Any stocks outside of the big ones that you're looking at on the Sun and Private Wealth screen today?
No, if I'm looking at our order book, a few guys sort of taking a bit of profits in process. They think it's run a little bit hard. Guys doing a bit of a switch from process into NUSPAs, for what it's worth. And then there are quite a few guys who thankfully have caught this little platinum bounce, but no one really, every time they think it's going a bit toppy in Impalas, it just carries on running. So, don't know, difficult one. Be a brave person to call the top in this at the moment. So, I mean, those are trend followers, you know, the old adage, don't fight the trend. Well, I haven't seen that thing tick down yet, you know. Don't try to pick a top just yet, people.
JSE indices on this first day, this quiet day, followed by, of course, the value traded.
Okay, so JSE on the quiet day, volume expect, I'll get that now, but all share down 0.25%, 151 points, 58,850. Unfortunately, unable to hold that 59,000 level. And the top 40 down 97 points, only 0.18%. Drilling down the indices, technology shares were in the green, 0.67%. Basic materials still continuing their run up 0.25%. But on the downside, financials and industrials, healthcare and energy shares. Consumer cyclicals are worst performer, down 2.32%. And finally, looking at volume value traded with the U.S. shut, to be expected, a lot worse than Friday. Not 20,000, 14 billion value traded. So quite a bit under Friday's volume.
Yes, indeed. I've been looking for palladium quotes, and the reason I know the name palladium is because it used to be the Royal Variety Performance once or maybe even twice a year, and used to sit around the TV, and my mother loved it, and you get Tom Jones coming up there and Shirley Bassey and a couple of stupid comedians, and the Queen would be there, and it was all very good fun. It was held at the London Palladium. Now, I look for palladium quotes, and the only one I can find is this. So palladium's obviously got a different meaning in literary circles, because here's a quote from a chap called Joseph Story. He says, "The right of the citizens to keep and bear arms has justly been considered as the palladium of the liberties of a republic, since it offers a strong moral check against the usurpation and arbitrary power of rulers, and will generally, even if these are successful in the first instance, enable the people to resist and triumph over them." I don't know what that was all about.
I was going to say, jolly good rah-rah, thanks for that.
Nick Kunze, thanks for that as well. That was Nick Kunze from Sandon Private Wealth. That was the 5 o'clock shadow, and we'll be back tomorrow morning for the opening.